and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
You are listening to In the Know with David O., informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio on 860 AM WWDB. And now, your host, Philadelphia Councilman David O.
Good afternoon. This is David O. Thank you for joining me again here on WWDB AM 860 Radio. This is In the Know with David O., and I am joined by four outstanding guests. The first person we're going to talk to is David Ivory. He's a Grammy-nominated engineer producer, but he's also the chair of the Philadelphia Music Industry Task Force, and he is going to update us on what's happening in the world of music here in Philadelphia. And he has a very special project of his own, because in addition to what he does as a engineer and producer, he's a director of sound recording and music technology at Montgomery County Community College, and they have some big news to share. And then we'll be talking to Debbie Rafferty. She is the granddaughter of Wild Bill Guarneri. For those who don't know, if you ever got a chance to watch the HBO hit series Band of Brothers, one of the characters in the movie, a true life character, is Wild Bill Guarneri from South Philadelphia. And there is a statue of him, kind of his iconic look with the crutches, and he lost his leg in World War II out there in Delaware County. But he's from South Philadelphia, and she is joined today by her father, Gene Guarneri, and all the Guarneris seem to have a chip off the old man's block, right? Okay, and then we're going to talk to Jimmy DeSaint, CEO of DeSaint Entertainment. What is he up to now? The last thing I heard, he's doing movies, he's doing another, promoting another concert, but he has many titles. But let me tell you what a fascinating person he is, artist, entrepreneur, and many other things, a real-life story of a person with artistic abilities and gifts who ended up in federal prison and then did an amazing turnaround, and he joins us, Jimmy DeSaint. If you remember last week, well, listen, I wasn't here, but Tom Kong from my office was filling in as the host. If you like him a lot better than me, let us know. We'll bring him on more often. If you think he was just awful and you're glad I'm back, let me know, and we will never put him back on the air again. But anyway, you know, he was here hosting, and he was joined by Andy Toy, Development and Communications Manager for CMAC, Southeast Asian Mutual Associations Assistance Coalition, a nonprofit, and Resilient. They're a female-driven rock band, 2017 rock finalists in PHL Live Center Stage. And then we were joined by Wita Fraser Collins. She is leading the way in the remembrance of Joe Frazier, Philly's own Smokin' Joe Frazier. And she was talking about the dedication of Joe Frazier Boulevard. And listen, I tell you that because you can always go to WWDBAM.com and take a look at In the Know with David O., and you will find podcasts of our prior shows. And if you go to your YouTube, .com and type in the Know with David O., you will be able to look at some videos. I don't know what's up there now, but you'll get to see videos of our guests. At this time, let me start by, of course, thanking the show's sponsor, because basically I couldn't be on the air if I didn't have a sponsor. And that sponsor is Weinerman Pain and Wellness. They're located at 100 South Broad Street on the 18th floor. What they do is they help people get back to as full a life as possible through their ability to help people rehabilitate themselves physically from injuries, accidents, and other things. And, of course, when you are good physically, you're often good mentally and emotionally. Well, let me start by introducing Dave Ivory. I know him well. Listen, among other things, he has been a judge in the rock category of PHL Live. He is a highly respected person in the music industry. He is Grammy nominated. He's done the recordings for The Roots, Erykah Badu, Patti LaBelle, Hailstorm, Kindred, The Family Soul, and so many others. And it's interesting because he's really kind of a rocker, but you know, his talents have lended themselves in a very diverse way. Rap, you know, all kinds of stuff. Talking about jazz a little bit. And so he is my first guest. He's been on the show before, but David, thank you for coming in again.
Well, thank you very much for having me back.
Well, I
really appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate your work because on top of your very busy schedule and you know, managing your artists, your singers, your bands, you do a lot. Former president of the Grammy chapter here in Philadelphia, a national trustee, mm-hmm. All those type of things, teaching.
You're making me tired.
Oh my goodness. But let's start with this. You are the chair of Philadelphia's Music Industry Task Force or Music Industry Commission. You guys have been meeting. What is happening in the world of music in Philadelphia? What are you guys looking at?
Well, what we're looking at right now is trying to get some relief for our playing musicians. Mm. Oftentimes musicians come into the city, they rarely get paid. Unfortunately, they're unloading their equipment and they'll get a parking ticket.
Yes.
They might end up, having their car towed just from loading in a gig that they're not even going to get paid for. So we're trying to work on just to help in the small level, just give some relief to the playing and gigging musicians that are in this city, and on a larger level, try to help foster a creative community that wants to stay here once they quote unquote make it. Because right. oftentimes we have a lot of really great artists and they just move on out of the town. And I feel, and we feel as a task force that, we want to try to change some of that and try to just, you know, we can't move mountains. We have no budget, but we do have a lot of help through City Hall, through yourself, through the mechanism of what you have available to us. And we're just trying to find some ways that we can have a good effect, a positive effect on the community of music. Musicians.
Yeah, well, you certainly have a lot of talented and capable people in very diverse areas. And so collectively looking at how to make our city a more dynamic music city for creative and talented people, something you know very much about. And could you kind of personally tell us like some of the experiences you've had in either working with from the ground up new artists or coming across some really fantastic artists and then kind of assisting them, and then what happens after that? They move out of Philadelphia, you know, hopefully some of them stay, but what's going on?
Well, you know, fortunately I was witnessed and was part of a scene. There's been many scenes in the waves, so to speak, of Philadelphia music, starting with the Gamble and Huff, even Cameo Parkway days. I was fortunate enough to be in the 90s at Sigma Sound, and you know, I was an independent producer there, but there was a lot of activity, and there was the Roots were coming up and Common was there. It was like a whole activity, not only just with Sigma, but with other larger studios in the city at the time.
Right.
Wonderful time. Black Lily was happening. There was a lot of venues that were having music. And of course, the economy changed, and so did the technology change, and now a lot of people are making music on their computers. Mm. So it's more individualized. It's not more in a community type setting where it is like at a Sigma when there was three or four different studios. You'd be
right.
talking to Patti LaBelle in the hallway. Bonnie Sigler would be singing. Questlove would be in the other room. There's a synergy that happens.
Right. Collaboration,
even
sharing.
Discussion and just talking about even
right.
just what's in your life. Right.
Right.
So, but, since that is not quite as happening as much, that's why, even to be quite honest, why we're doing this at Montgomery County College,
Right.
There's several studios. We've built a beautiful state-of-the-art mix room, and we're trying to create that scene to have new students, new energy, because that's really what it takes. It takes a commitment of the music creators to, you know, to try to help each other out and bring the new people up. Unfortunately, we don't have tons of mechanisms like we did before to make that available.
I want to get to the, you know, the facility, the mix room. But before we get to that, let me ask you this, because as you said, nowadays people can make music on their computers. And so many more people are able to produce a sound.
Correct.
And yet, is that leading to better music because of the quantity of music? Or do you think that it is not as good as it used to be?
I think it's hard to say what's good or bad, because obviously that's so subjective. I just think the funny thing I always joke at is that the internet had a lot of opportunity for a lot more people to make more music.
Right.
But what happened was everybody is making a lot more music. So now before there was like a gatekeeper type situation where the labels kind of held the reins on, so to speak, on how people kind of came through the mechanism. Now, of course, anybody can get on Spotify and do that. So in some ways, it's the most wide open and best it's been for new artists.
Right.
And in some ways, it's more difficult because there's millions and millions of them. And how do you navigate? How do you get your head to pop up out of that sea of people?
So,
you know, I think ultimately every generation, every new technology wave has its own challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there are still some fundamental things that I think we'll agree with in a lot of ways, is that it still really comes down to some really great singing, great playing, and really good songwriting.
How about the location? In other words, with so many people making music, the availability of this software, do people say to themselves, hey, I'm going to Nashville because I could do this anywhere and Nashville is where I want to be, or hey, I'm going to New York? And isn't the point of the Philadelphia Music Industry Task Force to say, hey, Philadelphia, that's a place I want to be?
Of course. I think part of that is making people aware, you know, of the true talent in Philadelphia. Like one of our, you know, one of the big issues is that music sometimes is taken for granted, and it's almost like a free commodity. Mm-hmm. And one of the things one of the initiatives we're trying to get to everyone to understand that musicians have bills too.
Right.
And when you say, oh, you can play for free for exposure, you know, we always joke too much exposure gets you pneumonia, you know. So it's not really that. It's like I think a more of an understanding of if organizations, just in general, people themselves, music lovers, you know, these musicians have to get paid.
Yeah.
And these original musicians especially, because they're not playing in cover bands that are making money. They're playing, they're spending money, they're losing money. So.
Right.
You know, bring awareness is like fair pay for fair play, right?
Right,
you know,
right,
and
right.
it's something that I think that the Music Industry Task Force it's really going to be one of our biggest goals.
Welcome news to all those artists out there. Here's a group of very successful professionals from a very diverse background trying to make sure that all of you are getting paid.
And bring the awareness up to people. It's okay, you know, these people, men and women, and even young students, you know, they need to just get some fair pay. So let's think that music isn't free. You know, people take, you know, they have bills and they work really hard.
You've got to put some gas in the car so it goes. It don't go without gas, right?
And they should park free in loading zones when they're loading their equipment.
I know one of the things.
Not get a ticket.
You guys are meeting with the streets commissioner,
I think? We're trying to get that together now. Yes,
okay,
absolutely.
Very good. Very good, very good. Well, listen, tell me about, and by the way, for the listeners, I was a guest of David Ivory. I went up to Montgomery County Community College, and there was nothing there. He was just telling us what was going to happen in this room with some fluorescent lights in it. But then I was just looking at the pictures, and the stuff is there now, right?
Yeah, it's great. It's beautiful.
You raised a lot of money for that.
Yeah, we did. We still have some more to raise. We need another $250,000, but the Pennsylvania Department of Education gave us a $650,000 grant.
Wow.
And we had to match it. So now we're doing fundraising. We're going to create this really cool thing. It's going to be a founder society.
Mm.
And it's going to be a wall of fame. And we're going to have different donation levels. We're going to have gold 45s and gold albums with your name on it, and for different levels of funding. And yeah, so we're trying to raise $250 to finish getting the rest of everything paid, and that foundation society we're developing. And if you can contribute before December 31st of this year, it's going to be great.
Where do people who want to contribute, where do they go?
It's the Montgomery County MCC.edu /fundraising.
Okay.
Or foundation, actually. I'm sorry.
One more time.
MC3.edu/foundation.
Okay. Now, going back, could you explain to people, lay people like myself, why is this important? And what kind of asset in our region is this mixed room?
Well, according to the U.S. government, this engineering business specifically is growing at about 12% a year. So it's one of an accelerating businesses, as opposed to, you know, stagnant or
declining. Yeah.
So with that in mind, and with the fact that our enrollment, and we haven't really advertised that much yet because it's still a new program.
Right.
We're up 28%. We have a waiting list. So I think the important thing is that there are jobs out there. Yes, more entrepreneurial type jobs, meaning that you are definitely, once you get training, you'll probably go out there and do live sound on your own and,
you know,
be an independent engineer and get paid from one source and another source and another source. But at the same time, there's definitely work out there. And we have great articulation agreements with 4-year colleges because we're only a 2-year college.
Yes.
And, with like Millersville and, you know, other area schools. So, it's a great way for a student to get in, have amazing facilities to work out of at a very, very, very affordable rate.
That's a state-of-the-art facility.
Absolutely. There's only there's only a handful of studios that is equipped like this room in the country. NFL Films has the same kind of console, Lucasfilms in L.A., Skywalker Ranch. I mean, there's not many places. It's really beautiful. And it's great for film work, too, because it's all 5-to-1 and, you know, amazing new editing.
Jimmy DeSaint shaking his head, yes, yeah.
Yeah, so it's gorgeous, and it's going to be great. We already have a lot of interest. We're opening it up to the community. And again, as you and I always talk, you're Philadelphia, I'm Montgomery County, it's regional.
Yes.
This is not – we need to be all in this together and make this a regional effort.
Yes, we're all in this together, definitely.
Because that's how we build a community.
Mm. So, in terms of your work as a professional, how do you see things developing or not developing in our region for artists, musicians, and for the industry?
I think we're on an upswing.
Oh,
I
that's good news. I don't know the answer, folks, but that's good news.
I actually
do.
I really do. Okay. I think so. I think that we are – I think we definitely went through a lot of changes, and I think now we have a vibrant community in Northern Liberties.
Yes.
We have a growing awareness of our jazz scene.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the classical community is kind of getting their organization together. The Grammys are doing really well here in the city, our Grammy chapter. I think there's a lot of things going. There's a lot of positive energy. So, you know, I can only be positive because I think that's why we're here and that's why we're trying to make things move.
For our listeners out there who may be aspiring musicians or who are maybe frustrated musicians or the parents of, what kind of advice do you have? Because I've seen you now, I think, 4 years doing PHL Live in the rock category, and definitely you're looking for something. What are you looking for and what do you try to do if they have that magic?
I always look for really good songs, and I always look for really hardworking people.
Mm.
So they're the two things. I mean, I would take a somewhat less talented person that worked harder than a very talented person that didn't work that much. To me, this is a very hard business.
Yes.
And I'm sure he will tell you.
Jimmy DeSaint, yep.
Jimmy will tell you that it's a lot of work.
Yes.
And, you know, we joke an 8-hour day is like a day off, you know, that's like a day off.
Eight hours,
it's nothing. So, I mean, you have to like be really ready to work and really be focused on your craft of songwriting. That is the key to success.
How do you tell if someone is hardworking, because you have only so many hours in the day, and you know, there's a lot of people knocking on your door, and everyone can look like they're hardworking, you know, in an hour, a day, a week. But what causes you to like say, hey, that person's really got it, and I really want to invest in them?
Because, you know, you would always be you wouldn't want to invest in somebody the first time you meet them. So you basically would follow them, talk to them, have several meetings, you know, talk to them, maybe even rehearse with them or work with them or whatever, and then I think you would make that decision. Especially in this business right now, there's no big pot of gold at the end of the rainbow because those deals are over pretty much. So if you're really going to work with somebody, you better really care about them because you're not going to get this big financial win at the end. So, so obviously they have to win you over. So, and you can see how people's effort is, their follow up, their, what they have on their website, if posting's old, if, you know, that kind of thing. Right. If you're in it to win it, your game needs to be up.
Well, that sounds like some solid advice from David Ivory.
So.
Yeah, the music man himself. Well, listen, David, thank you very much for joining us. And we look forward to you coming back soon. So listen, everybody, stay tuned because we're going to be talking to the Guarneers, Debbie Rafferty, president of the Wild Bill Guarneri Memorial Fund. And they have a big event coming up, the fourth annual golf outing and dinner. She's here with Gene, a veteran himself, Vietnam veteran, and just the funny stories of Wild Bill Guarneri. Stay tuned.
You are listening to In the Know with David O. Informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio on 860 AM WWDB.
If you've suffered an injury from a motor vehicle crash, trip and fall, construction, or work-related accident, contact the Padova firm to speak with John Padova himself. You've heard the name. That's because for over 25 years, John has been winning for his clients. John is dedicated to ensuring his clients are fully compensated. Call 215-893-0700. That's 215-893-0700. Don't suffer more than you have to. Call John Padova today. Help is on the way.
Here at Sonny's Famous Cheesesteaks, we have the utmost respect for the founding fathers of our fair city's most celebrated sandwich. But we also understand the inevitability of time marching on. So come to Sonny's in Old City for a revolutionary take on the classic. And try the cheesesteak that Alan Richmond of GQ magazine named the best in Philadelphia. And declare your inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of cheesiness. Sonny's Famous Steaks, 228 Market.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinermanPainandWellness.com.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Gracie Jiu-Jitsu begins with one basic premise. Technique trumps all. Proven techniques allow the weak to overcome the strong. Learn self-defense that works, all while improving your physical condition, mental outlook, and healthy lifestyle. Gracie Academy Philadelphia will help you reach your goals. Take two free classes and see for yourself. Gracie Academy, 1231 Bainbridge Street, Philadelphia. Call them 215-830-6501 or visit their website at phlbjj.com. Get started at Gracie Academy, Philadelphia.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by the Philly Labor RX Injured Workers Pharmacy Network, featuring PPC Pharmacy, First Choice Pharmacy, and Precision Scripts, providing injured workers with premium products and services from the point of injury through the entire healing process. The Philly Labor RX Pharmacy Network cares about injured workers.
¶¶ All right, and we are back. Listen, we were talking to Grammy-nominated engineer-producer David Ivory. You heard the names of Roots, Erykah Badu, Patti LaBelle, so many others, the former president of the Grammy chapter here in Philadelphia, national trustee, and chair of the Philadelphia Music Industry Task Force, David Ivory. Very excited about the new mix room at Montgomery County Community College. Check it out. And now we're going to be talking to Debbie Rafferty. She is the president of the Wild Bill Guarneri Memorial Fund, and she is joined by her father, Gene Guarneri, and he himself, a Vietnam veteran, among other things. Philadelphia police officer, am I mistaken?
No, I work for PICO.
PICO. Okay, same almost kind of thing. Yeah. I get confused because you look like a police officer to me, but I don't know. But anyway, Gene has picked up some of his wisecracking characteristics from his father, who, listen, I had the honor and the pleasure of knowing just a wonderful human being, and what an incredible, you know, charismatic person, real salt of the earth. But when you hear his story, you will, you know, be moved. And you could learn about him if you haven't seen, and I don't know too many people who haven't seen it, but the HBO series, hit series, Band of Brothers. And so we're joined by Debbie Rafferty, who is his granddaughter. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, David. Thanks for having me back again.
Well, listen, it is always a pleasure. And in addition to what you do as the president of the Memorial Fund, through it and in addition to it, you support so many events here in our region that benefit and help veterans.
That is correct. We do. We raise money for veterans' causes. And we donate to various things. This year we're going to do the Philadelphia Comfort House. They're getting everything back together, so we're going to donate money for that.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to donate money for service dogs.
Yes, okay.
So that's very important, especially with the PTSD problems we're having with the veterans and mental health issues.
Right.
We also are donating to the Philadelphia Navy Yard, the Christine, the chaplains, the four chaplains.
Oh, yeah, sure.
They're going to have a symposium in the spring. We did it last year. We'll do it again this year for PTSD, drug addiction, and for our mental health illnesses also.
Right, right. That is just so important for those who have served, those who have put themselves in harm's way, and oftentimes suffer, you know, the consequences of that. And then here they are, not receiving the full level of support from our government, and then nonprofits and other types of organizations that help and serve veterans step in to thank through services that are needed and necessary those who served. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about the Wild Bill Guarneri Memorial Fund?
Sure, David. I started this after my grandfather died. My family and friends got together, and we decided to build a statue of him.
Yes.
So we raised funds for that, and then I think it was $65,000 we raised to have his 8-foot bronze statue. And after that, we had extra money, and I thought, why not raise money for veterans, because my grandfather donated to veterans' causes his whole life.
Yes, he did. And by the way, listen, that $65,000, that's not the full price of the statue.
No.
The labor and the artist donated.
Chad Fisher.
Yes, wonderful gentleman.
Who did Fred Shiro down at the what's the name of that bar? Down at the stadium.
Yes, yes.
Anyway, he did the NFL film, Steve Sable. He did that. And he volunteered. He contacted us to do my father.
Yeah.
Statue and no cost for the labor.
Right.
Or else we would have cost us about $175,000.
Yes, yes. So really a beautiful statue located out in Delaware County.
Newtown Square.
Yeah.
It's a Delaware County Veterans Memorial.
Yes, wonderful. And so one of the things that you probably found as preparations and other things for your grandfather were being made, just how beloved he was. Was that surprising to you? I mean, you've known him your whole life.
Yeah, so anywhere you went, people would recognize him and talk to him, but I don't think I realized how much the city loved him until his funeral.
Yes.
They closed off every entrance and exit on 95. City Hall, there was people outside with flags and saluting us. We were led by police, by motorcycles. It was very touching.
Yeah, and what a larger-than-life figure. He oftentimes, you know, with the – he lost a leg in the Second World War, so he was very noticeable with his crutches. Mm-hmm. But he was the life of the party, wasn't he?
Always, yeah. Mm.
I remember when you came to the house.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I got out with my life. I was only there to try to help.
Yeah.
But I heard the word grenades a couple of times. One of his favorite lines. Yeah, and you tell a very interesting story, Gene, about, you know, when you got back from the Vietnam War, trying to have that father and son moment with him.
Yeah, that generation, when you were anybody that's was born in the 40s and 50s, their parents didn't tell you anything about anything. Wow. So when I got home from Vietnam, like my father never wrote me when I was in Vietnam. My mother did.
Mm.
My mother would have personally come over with a Tommy gun to save me if she had to. But my father right. said, this such is life. So when I came home, I was in the living room with him. You were in that house, right? You were walking real fast. You're in the yard.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there and I said, you know, Dad, what did you do in the war? Now, look, we didn't even know how he lost his leg. I didn't.
Mm. Right.
He said, kid, the war's over. Forget about it. That was the whole conversation. And you couldn't,
you couldn't push anything.
The one he gave you an answer,
that was
he didn't want to talk. That was the end of that conversation.
Right.
And he never talked about anything.
Were you surprised when you saw the HBO series, the depiction of everything he went through?
Well, yeah, because he ran the reunions for Easy Company. He was the main, he was the go-to guy from HBO.
Right.
So when they were doing the series, people would say, well, I was in Easy Company. They would tell HBO that HBO didn't know any different. So they would go to my father and he'd say, kid, I never heard of him. And they would put the squash on him. So he was the focal point.
Right.
And when the series came in, now he went to and Babe Heffron, who's also from Second Street.
South Philadelphia.
South Philadelphia. Him and Babe went over with Tom Hanks to be advisors.
Mm,
in fact, yes. Babe even got in the series, and my father told Tom Hanks to get lost, kid. And I said, Dad, why couldn't you go in the series? Because he's got crutches and he's got one leg. They were in Holland.
Mm.
And Babe's sitting there waving a flag, and my father's right there, but he didn't get in the series. That's the way he was.
Yes.
He wasn't impressed by money, or he didn't he could care less about that.
But he was so available to his fellow veterans. I remember him in every parade. And I remember one time, you know, I had these young officers back from the Middle East, and they wanted to run from North Carolina, from Chapel Hill or something, from Duke University to New York City, kind of relay style, and they're running through Philadelphia. And your father, your grandfather, he said, sure, I'll meet him. And he was one of the folks that met them, and they were just so delighted and touched. It really made their entire visit here in Philadelphia. I have pictures of them crowded around listening to his stories, and he was such a jokester, but also very serious and had a lot of wisdom to share.
He was. He, like I said, I got learned more about my father when he was talking to you.
Mm.
Like he had a tattoo on his arm.
Yeah.
And it said, it was a grave,
and
it said Dunk. Now, I'm growing up, and it said Dunk, and I'm thinking that somebody died in Dunk. Now, his brother, who was killed in Italy, his brother used to dunk everything in the coffee or ketchup. I don't know what he dunked in it. But that's when his brother died, he put his nickname Dunk. I never knew his nickname was Dunk. I never met the
Right,
guy.
Right.
But that's just part of it, you know. And a lot of people would say to me, geez, was your father like that when you were a kid? I said, I wasn't even born. I wasn't even, you know. So yeah, he was a character. He was definitely a character. And he was free with his time, like you said.
Yes.
And his phone, he was unlisted. So I would call him and say, Dad, you need, and he's living in South Philly, right? I said, Dad, you need anything? He said, hold on, kid. I'm talking to two broads right now. I said, well, who are they? He says, hold on. What's your name, sweetheart? They were from like Kansas City. They would just knock on his door, right?
Yeah.
They would knock on his door, like, you know, and that's the way he was.
They
and people
would just come by
he
and
didn't
visit
even
him.
Know who they were.
Well, that's funny. That's funny. Now you both share, you know, the love of veterans and helping those who serve our country through this work. And one of the things that you do in order to fund this is the annual golf outing and dinner. And so it's coming up, right?
It is coming up, April 20th.
That's a Friday, right?
That's a Friday.
Okay, good day to have it.
Very good. Let's hope it doesn't snow.
Yeah. Hopefully the nor'easters or near'easters are over.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so how do people get involved? Because there's golf and then there's a dinner. If you golf, you could get involved, I think, around 12 o'clock.
12 noon is sign-ups. 1 o'clock is shotgun start.
Mm-hmm,
and
right.
You don't have to golf to come to the dinner.
Yeah, because I don't golf, so
correct.
I just go to the dinner.
Yes, me too. I don't golf either. Our website is wildbillmemorial.org /golf. You can get right to the page about the golf.
Yes.
You can email info@wildbillmemorial.org, or you can call us at 215-389-3094.
If you didn't get that, don't worry. I'm going to have her repeat that before the end of this segment.
And just for your information, that phone number was my father's house phone number.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
okay.
So people, you know, it was Fulton 9. It was Fulton 9.
So I gave it
to her to put on his
Yeah, one of the things that I have in my house that I treasure is a action figure of a 101st Airborne soldier in the box, autographed by Wild Bill Guarneri.
We got him.
Yeah, you know what? It's high up. My 3-year-old somehow climbed up and got my G.I. Joe, and that's all in pieces now, but didn't touch the Wild Bill Guarneri box, so it has to get higher,
right.
Higher. That is too funny. So one of the things that you'll also have at the dinner are wonderful auction items.
Yes. We have raffles, auction items, 50-50. We have autographed stuff from Wild Bill, of course.
Yes.
Gary Sinise sends us something. Gary, we're a supporter of Gary Sinise.
Yeah, wonderful guy, great actor.
And he's awesome with the veterans also. So,
yes. Always a great turnout, too. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a good time.
And where is it located?
At Paxson Hollow Country Club. That's mm-hmm. in Media, PA, 19063.
Okay. Well, listen, it's always a great time. A lot of great people. You know, if you don't know anybody, don't worry. Gene will be there. His lovely wife, Debbie, her daughters, everybody. They'll come and make you feel right at home.
And you never know who's going to show up.
Very true, right?
You never know who's going to show up.
Yes. And you know, one of the interesting quirks about your grandfather, your father, was that he liked to autograph stuff.
Everything.
Which is great.
Everything.
He autographed my kitchen cabinets before I put the countertop in.
I went over his house once in my work scrubs, and I bent over to pick something up, and he autographed the back of my scrubs.
So one of the things that you auction off is a very classic photograph of your father from behind with his jacket, his crutches, looking over
the cemetery.
And he has autographed a lot of those type of items.
Yes.
I think, did I give you one of them before?
I did. Yeah, okay. You did.
I want to make sure that I did.
No, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
No, I just want to thank you for – you had a nice affair for us at Constatters.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you on the radio and let everybody know that you went out of your way, and we raised a lot of money toward the statue.
Yeah, no, it was my pleasure.
Yeah, it was nice.
Your dad was just wonderful to all of us, and it was a real pleasure and honor to interact with him. And by the way, a lot of fun too. I mean, he always had us in stitches laughing with just
always.
Some of the stuff he said.
He went to the Will's Eye Hospital. He called me one night and he says, I can't see out of one eye. I'm blind. So I go down there immediately. I take him to Will's Eye, 10th and Chestnut. I park outside on 10th Street, and I go inside, and the guards in there knew who he was. And I said, well, could I – don't worry about the car. Leave it there. And this is the God's honest truth. After he went through, he's in the room and he can't see. The doctor had him autograph something. That's how, I mean, it was just, you can go anywhere with him. It's because it was the movie was out in 2001. And he got tickets to go to the Eagles Super Bowl 2004. He told him to get lost.
And
he's not coming down. He went to Vegas.
Yeah.
I said, Dad, I could have went with you. You know, you could pretend you're handicapped. I used to push him around in a wheelchair.
Right. He's like, no way.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's the way he was.
That is hilarious. Well, thank you for joining us one more time, Debbie. How can people get in touch and get their tickets and all that stuff.
Our website is wildbillmemorial.org.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's the easiest way.
Save the date, Friday, April the 20th, 12 o'clock, to sign up, 1 o'clock shotgun. And then in the evening, there will be dinner, auction items, and
dancing.
Dancing and a lot of fun.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you.
Listen, stay tuned. We'll be back with the man himself, Jimmy DeSaint, CEO of DeSaint Entertainment.
You are listening to In the Know with David O. Informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio on 860 AM WWDB.
If you've suffered an injury from a motor vehicle crash, trip and fall, construction, or work-related accident, contact the Padova firm to speak with John Padova himself. You've heard the name. That's because for over 25 years, John has been winning for his clients. John is dedicated to ensuring his clients are fully compensated. Call 215-893-0700. That's 215-893-0700. Don't suffer more than you have to. Call John Padova today. Help is on the way.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be. Weinerman Pain and Wellness, on the web at WeinermanPainandWellness.com.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 100 South Broad Street, just south of City Hall. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
Gracie Jiu-Jitsu begins with one basic premise. Technique trumps all. Proven techniques allow the weak to overcome the strong. Learn self-defense that works, all while improving your physical condition, mental outlook, and healthy lifestyle. Gracie Academy Philadelphia will help you reach your goals. Take two free classes and see for yourself. Gracie Academy, 1231 Bainbridge Street, Philadelphia. Call them 215-830-6501 or visit their website at phlbjj.com. Get started. Started at Gracie Academy, Philadelphia.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by the Philly Labor RX Injured Workers Pharmacy Network, featuring PPC Pharmacy, First Choice Pharmacy, and Precision Scripts, providing injured workers with premium products and services from the point of injury through the entire healing process. The Philly Labor RX Pharmacy Network cares about injured workers.
All right, we are back. Listen, we were talking to Debbie Rafferty and her father, Gene Guarneri, just reminiscing about the amazing Wild Bill Guarneri. And, of course, you know, there is the Wild Bill Guarneri Memorial Fund, the statue out there in Delaware County, and on Friday, April the 20th, a fundraiser to support all the good work that they do. Check them out and save the date. Well, listen, right now I'm joined by Jimmy DeSaint, DeSaint Entertainment. Just an incredible story, and he's into so many things. You know, I can't even go down all the things that you do, but let's start with this. Number one urban stories, you know, Philadelphia, vice president, Rough House Records, promoter, Live Nation, and now you're doing movies, among other things.
Yeah, I'm involved with movies.
Okay. Yeah. So that begs a question. But let's start with this. How have you been?
I've been chilling.
Okay. Yeah, that's not what I've heard. I've heard you've been very busy.
Chilling and busy.
Okay. Listen, for those who don't know, Jimmy DeSaint is just a fantastic story of a person with talent who found himself sentenced to 10 years in federal prison and discovered in federal prison that he had a gift for writing, and he has completely turned his life around. Now he's an entrepreneur, a business person, an artist, in music, in entertainment, doing all those sorts of things, and working at it.
Yes. Yes. So, you already know, Dave. I mean, I work.
Yeah. I mean, well, listen. Tell our listeners some of the books that you've written. Just a couple. I know you've got like over 20 titles.
I got so many books, but my most popular book is the book I wrote called Black Scarface. That's a popular series.
Mm.
It's actually being turned into a pilot right now. And
okay.
Going to be shot with a friend of mine. One of my partners, Vance DeBose. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that's the president of Rough House.
Yes.
And another friend of mine named Christine Crocus from out of New York, she got a new movie coming out called Pip, executive produced by Lee Daniels.
Right, right.
And I'm actually the music supervisor for the film.
Oh, okay.
So I supplied music for the entire film.
Well, did you ever hear me play the violin?
You're funny. So, yeah, I'm working.
You know, okay, well, working. That sounds like a lot. Now, you actually started out in hip-hop with a rap group.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a terrible story, but four of the members of the group were murdered.
Yeah, yeah.
In the same house, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's pretty uh-huh. crazy.
Yeah.
So things were not looking too good for you.
No, not at all.
You had the conviction.
Yeah.
And but... You know, turned around.
Yeah, obstacles, you know what I'm saying? Just a test. Mm. You know what I mean? Prison was just a test, you know what I'm saying? It opened up my eyes.
How did it do that?
I mean, you know, when I first got sentenced to 10 years, you know what I mean? I've never been in prison a day in my life.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, never.
Right.
Like, no little roundhouse or the county. My first time ever going to prison, I was going to do 120 months in
wow.
federal prison.
Right.
So it was an awakening, you know what I'm
right.
saying? And it wasn't like TV.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I was in federal prison. I don't know how the other prisons are, but the particular prison I went to, it was like, it was more people trying to get themselves together because you had so much time and there was a lot of, white collar crimes and stuff mm-hmm. like that. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
So, just the first day, for some reason, I was reading a book. My cellie gave me a book. He said, you're going to be doing a lot of this in 10 years, a lot of reading.
Right.
So I was reading a book. And when I finished the book, because it was a novel, I was like, I could write one of these. I just thought I could by just reading it. So he laughed, and it was kind of a challenge. He was like, everybody say that. You mean? I said, I'm going to write a book. And I wrote it, and I was done in like 4 or 5 months, and I gave it to him to read after I got it typed up. And he liked it, and he said, give it to the other inmates.
I heard it was very popular. People wanted
to. Yeah, everybody around the jail was like, yo, Jim, can I read the next? Whatever. So it's crazy because I wrote this book and I had a cellie. He was white. And, you know, and I never been around like Caucasians. Like, you know, I'm from West Philly. You know what I'm saying?
I'm from the hood.
But he was so cool. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And we got along so good, right? He's from Ohio. And he was in there for, embezzling like $5 million or something. He owned a big trucking company in Ohio.
Right.
Or something. But he was so cool and he'd read my books and stuff. So, he would get a lot of books sent to him in prison. They'd be like, James Patterson, John Grisham, like mainstream, like
authors and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah. So one day I said, read this and just tell me what you think. And he read it. Then he looked at me after he read it. He's like, yo, don't ever call yourself an urban book author. You just can write. You just natural. You just got it. He said, because I'm reading your book. And I'm getting the same feeling when I read one of these James Patterson books.
Wow.
And he told me, I was like, seriously? He's like, I swear, you write, you really good. He kept asking me, did I go to school for? I said, no, I just look like I could do it. You know what I'm saying? So that caused me to write 30 something books later.
Wow.
But he was the inspiration because just sitting there, he was so cool. And then I had a different appreciation for people. And then,
What is your gift? What is it that you – now, you didn't study writing. You didn't go to school. You didn't take classes. You know, you read a book and something hits you, and so you write a novel. What is your gift that makes what you put down on paper that, you know, that magnetic to people? They want to read it.
See, I write what I know.
Mm,
you know what I'm saying? So I could talk about drugs and – gun violence all day long, every day.
Right.
But instead of writing a drug story or a gun killing story,
right.
I write stories with drugs and guns in them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I just show that. That's just a part.
That's a part of the characters, the people.
But I don't make that my whole story.
Right.
And I like my story to be very touching and, like, realistic. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it touches people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I sold over 100,000 copies of Black Scarface series on my own when I started my company.
Right.
On my own with no distribution deal, just the popularity, and everybody kept picking up. So, like, this past year, like I was just telling you, a female friend of mine, I was just showing Dave, found me on the internet and asked me about music. Mm. And I wound up doing the music soundtrack for her movie. But in the same time, she found out I was a book author, and she read my top book, Black Scarface. Invited me out to New York with me and my friends of mine and everything. She was like, this could be a dope series. This could be a seriously serious series depicting Philadelphia. You know what I'm saying? Because I talk about Philly, the seriousness of Philadelphia. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's really going on. You know what I mean? So I'm in the process of that. It's getting written by I wrote it already, but the screenplay is getting written by a good friend, Hakeem. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, Vance, we all contributed to this, screenplay to get it ready for, our people, out in New York and LA. And I'm invited to the Tribeca Film Festival, actually.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
So me and my crew invited out to Tribeca to check out, the film that I did the music for.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So
I'm working, man.
Right. That's pretty exciting. Pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah.
And
where I come from is just crazy because I never like, you know, people be like, I never would have thought like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is just, but like I say, you never know what God had planned for you. You know what I'm saying? Like,
true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I was walking one direction and the whole time he was leading me somewhere else. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So it was like prison was a part of it. Getting shot 10 times was a part of it. Right. My homies getting murdered was a part of it.
Right.
Just to get me to this point. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's something that I didn't mention, but that I'm fully aware of, that after your four members of your crew got shot and murdered, then one day you got shot 10 times.
Yeah,
a year later.
Yeah.
And here you are.
Yeah, here
you
I know, am. And I was pronounced dead twice.
Is that right?
Yeah, okay. but like I said, you never know what God had planned for you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I got shot 10 times. I was in a wheelchair. I was on a dialysis. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
my kidneys.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I was seriously injured. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it was all a learning process because right after I got shot, a year later, I get indicted by the FBI.
Oh,
so goodness. I went to prison.
That's like a string of good luck there, right?
Yeah.
Bad luck.
But it all led me to write a book.
Right.
See what I'm saying? It's like when I was in prison, I wasn't complaining. Because I was like, damn, it's crazy. You know what I'm saying? I'm sitting here writing books. I got all these years to do. It's 2000. And when you look at your report, they tell you when you're going to get out.
Right.
And when I seen the release date, and they said, damn, January 2010. And it's January 2000.
Right.
And that's like a mental, like, it's crazy. You know what I'm saying? But 2001, I became the first federal inmate to get a 3-book publishing deal. I sent one of my books out to a company in New York. They gave me a publishing deal while I was incarcerated because they liked the book so much.
Wow.
So it was all a part of God's plan at the end of the day.
When did God come into your life? Was he always there?
He was always there. But, you know, when you're in the streets and stuff, you know what I'm saying, he like in and out because we allow him to be in and out because we only want God when it's good for us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But when I was selling drugs, I wouldn't think about God.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But on Easter, when they grab my mom and we go to church together, it's all about God. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so when you be playing with him like that, he'll play with you.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
So that's quotable. When you play with him like that, he'll play with you.
Yeah, he was playing with me like, okay, Jim, you want to play with me like that? I'm going to sit you down for a minute and let you chill. You need to chill. You know what I'm saying?
So what was it about God that you discovered in federal prison?
I mean, it was like, I was so alone, you know what I'm saying? And then the feds, you're not guaranteed to be nowhere near your city. They can send you anywhere as long as it's a federal prison.
Right.
So that's the thing. So they sent me to Texas.
Mm.
So I'm in Texas. I never been out of Philly.
Right.
And I'm doing federal time in a Texas federal prison.
Mm.
That was crazy, you know what I'm saying? So I knew it was all a blessing, you know what I'm saying? Because I met the right person there. That's where I met Freeway Rick Ross, the real Rick Ross.
Right.
The real
Rick
Ross, you know what I'm saying? And he tutoring me and, you know what I'm saying, telling me things, you know, about showing me stuff about networking and having some type of belief in your life and start believing. He's because I don't think you really end up in prison. You end up in prison for a reason. Either you did it, you know what I'm saying, or it's something that God need to do to sit you down. Either you did it, you killed somebody, robbed somebody, whatever. You put right. yourself there, right. or God put you there.
Yes.
God put me there. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
It's like that. I truly believe that.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I truly believe that.
We can think about the apostles. We can think about
like Martin I read the Bible.
King. You know, a lot of people have been in prison, right?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of wisdom there. It just was so crazy because I was surrounded by so many people that was like, it was just crazy. You know what I'm saying? Mm. It was like, damn, it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like the cell next to me was a guy named Al. I can't remember Al's last name, but Al was Lawrence Teller's lawyer, the football player.
Yeah.
The cell next to him was, do you remember that guy, that lawyer or a personal financer who stole all the money from Leonardo DiCaprio? And
rings
and
a bell.
If you look it up, you'll see he stole all the money from all the actors.
Oh.
He got all the money and act like he was
investing yeah. and doing all that stuff.
Now, he was in the cell next to me.
Oh, my goodness,
so
yeah.
I'm lined up with all these dudes like – so when I was doing my appeal, I gave it to Al, Lawrence Teller lawyer, and right. he got me back in the Third Circuit Court of Appeals.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. My case was heard in bunk, what's that, a three panel?
Yeah.
Yeah, because the cell next to me was Al, if I bring his name up, you know what I'm saying? He's a very popular a New York attorney.
Right.
You
right.
know what I'm saying? And right. I was surrounded by this. So I wasn't just surrounded by drug dealers or criminals.
Right.
It was a lot of people that did a lot of wrong.
Did you have an idea when you left federal prison that you were going into the creative arts economy?
Yeah. I knew it before because I wound up getting a book deal while I was in prison.
Yes.
So I was so hyped. I was like, wow, I got a book deal. So I came home a published author. I went in a drug deal and came out a published author.
With money in the bank?
With money in the bank.
Oh, that's good.
Because they paid me. Because my books were selling while I was in jail. Right. So they had to send me my royalty checks.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I'm still selling books. I'm just not around to do book signings or whatever, but books are still selling off the shelf, especially my genre, the urban genre.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And so now one of your books is being kind of like put out there, hopefully turned into a movie, television series.
Yeah. I'm in the process of that right now.
Yeah. And so that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. I'm really, really excited about that. Just to see what came out my mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Turn it into something visual.
Yes. And I actually write because I don't know how to type.
Right.
So I go by pads and pencils and I write it and then someone else type it up and edit it. You know what I'm saying? Because that's the way I learned in prison. So I still do it. Well,
did you learn cursive handwriting?
I graduated from high school.
No. You know why I bring it up? Cause I don't.
Or net just running around all crazy.
No.
Come on, man. Stop it, man. No, I write cursive.
No. You know why I say that? Because they don't want to teach cursive writing in schools anymore.
Oh, they taught me.
It's hard to write like block letters, you know? And so cursive writing, somebody turns it. So that's a lot of exciting stuff. So from where you sit now, looking at everything that you do, all your genres, you know, in like 30 seconds, what impresses you about what's happening right now?
I mean, there's a lot happening right now with the city. You know what I'm saying? The hip hop renaissance is just good. You know, I do the Philly Hip Hop Awards.
Oh,
you
yeah.
give out an award every year at my award show.
Yes,
you know
I do.
Saying? Right now, I'm just excited about this movie project, Black Scarface, working with my team, Vance DeBose, Hakeem, Carver Higgins. And I'm just excited about that right now. And I'm just staying out the way. You know what I'm saying? Until I get this accomplished and put Philly back on the forefront. Because we're overdue for a TV show based around Philly.
Right. Well, listen, fantastic. You know, good news for you and Jimmy DeSaint, DeSaint Entertainment. Good stuff happening, obviously, with Dave Ivory, his mixed room there at Montgomery County Community College. And listen, don't miss, this year's fantastic golf outing and dinner at, for the, Wild Bill Guarneri, Memorial Fund on April the 20th. You can Google it, check it out. And listen, join me next Tuesday, 2 to 3, In the Know with David O.
You've been listening to In the Know with David O on 860 AM WWDB. Tune in again next Tuesday at 2 p.m. for more informative, substantive, intelligent talk radio with Philadelphia Councilman David O.